Open up your Bibles to Matthew chapter 9. Just want to preface that this lesson, that this is I heard a lesson a few weeks ago, so the inspiration for this lesson came from that one. So I just want to preface that not all of these thoughts are mine originally that I normally have. But if you can, turn over to Matthew 9:12. Says, but when Jesus heard this, he said, it is not those who are healthy and need a physician, but those who are sick. But go and learn what this means. I desire compassion and not sacrifice, for I did not come to call the righteous, but sinners. And I want to talk today on really a couple of things, but really geared towards this great physician that we have. You know, one of the things that you think about our lives today, we are being monitored and scanned in all ways. You go to airports, you go to schools, you go to sporting events, museums. And, you know, I think about today, to get into places, right, you got to be scanned. And even you got a card in which you got to get in. So, you know, I'm at the gym at 4 a.m. and it's 24/7, thankfully, and they have employees there so that if I can't get in, they can help me out. But there are some places where if you go to the gym at 4 a.m., you've got a scan on the outside, you might not be able to get in. So it's important that these scanners that are monitoring us today are functioning properly. And it's important for us to, as we're going through our lives, to think, well, who is our scanner? Who is monitoring us every day? And you know, when you think about it from a spiritual standpoint, and I really want to look at this as a spiritual x-ray machine. You know, God is scanning us today, and he's monitoring everything that we're doing, and he sees all. And, you know, take a moment before we go into this lesson and just think about like a destination that you really want to go to. Think about something that you've always wanted to fly to anywhere in the world. You know, what are you going to do to prep for that? You got to go to the airport. And so, you know, you got to check what are the rules and requirements to get through this airport. What do I need to do to make sure that everything is correct? And you're going to list those things and you're going to prep yourself. And, you know, wherever that destination may be, well, let me ask you a question. Is that destination more important than going to heaven? I'd argue that the destination that we all want to get to is heaven. So as we go through this lesson, think of the things that you have to do to prepare yourself to make sure that you can properly get to your destination. Now, if you get to the airport and you have your luggage wrong or you have things in your luggage, they're going to toss it right out. And depending on what it is, you may not be able to go through the rest of the airport. You may have to turn around and go back. And I'd argue that if we live our lives and we are not prepared, well, we're going to get to a point to where God's going to make us turn back. Problem is, there's nowhere else to go except a place that no one wants to go. And so let's go through this and let's think about what is our important destination in this life and what is God doing to make sure, or what are we doing to make sure that we get there? Because the first point of this is that God sees all. Turn it with me to Job 34. Job 34. And let's start in verse 20. It says, in a moment they die, and at midnight, people are shaken and pass away, and the mighty are taken away without a hand. For his eyes are upon the ways of man, and he sees all his steps. There is no darkness or deep shadow where the workers of iniquity may hide themselves. So we see here, we've always been monitored by God. From the day that we were born, we've always been monitored. And we have no place to hide. We have nowhere where we can go to keep God from seeing us. Nowhere. He sees everything. And if we know that, we need to be careful as we take our steps and as we walk this life to make sure that the things that God would have us to see is what He expects us to be doing. Turn over with me to 2 Chronicles 16, chapter 16, and we'll look at verse 9. Second Chronicles 16, starting in verse 9. It says, "For the eyes of the Lord move to and fro throughout the earth, that He may strongly support those whose heart is completely His. You have acted foolishly in this. Indeed, from now on you will surely have wars." So we see, you know, this is talking about Asa. But the idea here is that God's eyes are everywhere. They are monitoring you with everything that you're doing. And for us, if we know that, what are you doing? What are you doing in this life that connects to the things God would have you to do? Is it correct? Because I can tell you, He's seeing everything. So, you know, I used this example before, but think about anything that you're doing. If you're doing something, would you do it with Jesus right next to you? Would you do it with God right next to you? If that answer is yes, then continue to do it. But if the answer is no, don't do it. Stop doing it. Because I'm telling you right now, guess what? He is right there next to you. He is watching every movement that you're making. So everything that you're doing, He sees it. And He's following you every step of the way. So there's nothing you can do to hide from it. And so let's make sure that as we're doing things in this life, that we keep it in front of us. And that we recognize that God is right next to us, watching everything. You know, could you imagine... You know, we probably all see this. You know, I have a young child, so and as your kids grow up and they get out of the house, what type of person are they? You know, you're used to being next to them, and so you kind of see their actions and their movements. But as they're older, and now they're in high school, and they got other friends, and they're going to places that you wouldn't expect them to go, you know, how disappointed would you be? What would you feel like if you knew that they were doing this, knowing that you thought this whole time they were the person that you raised? You feel disappointed. But, you know, God is raising us every day through His Word. When we study His Word and we listen to what He has to say, and when we connect our lives with it, God's expecting the same thing. You know, you go out somewhere and you take the things that He's raised us with and you live according to that. Turn with me to 1 Peter 3. 8. You know, we want to talk about how do we become something that God approves of, or what He sees for us and what He should be seeing as we live our lives. I think a lot of it starts here in these verses. Look at verse 8. It says, "To sum up, all of you be harmonious, sympathetic, brotherly, kind-hearted, and humble in spirit, not returning evil for evil or insult for insult, but giving a blessing instead. For you were called for this very purpose, that you might inherit a blessing. For the one who desires life, to love and see good days, must keep his tongue from evil and his lips from speaking deceit. He must turn away from evil and do good. He must seek peace and pursue it. For the eyes of the Lord are toward the righteous, and his ears attend to their prayer, but the face of the Lord is against those who do evil." So there's a lot of positive things that come out of being a follower of God and truly being in an obedient state with God, always knowing that God's always by your side. And if we recognize that, we're going to go through this life a lot easier and a lot better, and we're going to be able to get to our ultimate destination. Let's turn with me to Philippians 2. You know, remember, we want to keep in the forefront of our minds that God is always seeing. That God's all, you know, there's nothing you can do to hide from. Your actions, you cannot hide it. But the question I ask is it just too hard to do what God asks us to do? Is it just too hard to follow in his steps? Is it that difficult in this life that we just cannot do it? And that it's better for us to try to hide from God than actually do what he says? Is that the way our lives are? Is that the way it's going? Let's look at Philippians 2. Let's start in verse 12. So then, my beloved, just as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who is at work in you, both to will and to work for his good pleasure. Do all things without grumbling or disputing, so that you will prove yourselves to be blameless and innocent, children of God, above reproach, in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you appear as lights in the world, holding fast the word of life, so that in the day of Christ I will have reason to glory because I did not run in vain, nor toil in vain. But even if I am poured out as a drink offering upon the sacrifice and service of your faith, I rejoice and share my joy with you all. You too, I urge you, rejoice in the same way and share your joy with all. So you see here Paul talking to the brethren at Philippi that, you know, he's finding joy that they're being obedient in his absence. We should be able to find joy knowing that God is not physically with us, but we know he's here, and we should be able to live life knowing that. And that God's going to find joy knowing that we're doing that, with the expectation that we're not going to allow things in this life to take us down the wrong way. We want to get through the airport. And for us, we should not think at all that this life is too difficult to follow what God would have us to do. It becomes difficult when you don't want to do it. That's the problem. That's the difference. Is that, yeah, I know God's here. I see he's here. Just like I know my mom and dad's back home. I know they probably feel what I'm doing, but I just don't want to do what they told me to do. I want to do something different. That doesn't take you anywhere. That takes you down a wrong road. And at the end of the day, when we talked about a couple weeks ago, the lesson on the final judgment, the fact is the life that you're living now, in the end of it, whatever that life you chose, that's it. There's no changing it. There's nothing you can do to bring back or change your life and make it to where you can now get into heaven. It's all dictated on this life. This is the only life where you get to share that opportunity and really make sure you get through those airport gates. Let's look at Romans 12 real quick. Verse 1 and 2. You know, it's really important for us to have really dedicated service in this life to God. That's what's important. It says, therefore, I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice, acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. And, you know, we all come together to worship here in one. You know, we do this every week. But this is not the worship, the only worship that God's expecting of you. The true worship is how you're living when you're leaving this place. What are you doing? How are you presenting yourselves to others around you? It's like, are you fitting in? Are you standing out? And the key with this life is that we should be standing out of the world. And God should be able to see that. You know, whenever you hear the word stand out, what does that mean? That means you can see them. In a crowd of people, you can see them. So when God looks down on this earth, he should be able to see you standing out. And it's because you're living the way that he had you asked you to live. And that's important for us to do and for us to recognize. And so we know that God sees all. And then going back to and connecting to that is that we cannot hide from his sight at all. Like we know, you know, we read a verse that said that there's no darkness, there's nowhere you can hide from God. Well, let's just take a minute. You know, you could try, but you're not going to hide. But go back to an x-ray machine. You know, the other day I had to go in for an x-ray. I didn't want to. I had these severe migraines for 8 days. I was just trying to get medication. And our doctor systems, I mean, we could probably preach a whole lesson on our system here in America. all I know is next thing I know is I'm getting a CT scan. Wasn't the, my expectation. But, you know, there's things that x-rays can see that the eye can't. And so, you know, the CT scan can actually see inside my head, underneath my skin, to see if there's anything there that may be causing the migraines that I was having. But, you know, God, and, you know, the thing with x-rays, they've been around for a long time. I think like 150 years. So they're not a new concept. But see, God sees through all of us. You know, we have this physical body, and he sees through everything. He can see who you are without even needing an x-ray machine. He sees you deep inside, and the only thing he has to look at is your heart. That's what he sees. That's what he sees every day when he looks at you. He looks at you and he sees your heart. And he compares that heart to the heart that he is expecting here in our scriptures. Turn over with me to, we read Matthew 9, 12, and 13, but let's go back to Romans 3 for a minute. A few chapters in Romans. We'll go back a few chapters. So Romans 3. So it says, let's make sure I'm on the right. Yep. It says, as it is written, there is none righteous, not even one. There is one who understands. There is none who seeks for God. All have turned aside. Together they have become useless. There is none who does good. There is not even one. Their throat is an open grave. With their tongues they keep deceiving. The poison of asp is under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their paths, and the path of peace they have not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes. So when we look here and we get an understanding here, what's happening? What does God see in these people? What's in their heart? What's in everything, all their actions? It's evil. And that's what God sees. But for you and I, when he looks deep in our heart, what does he see? You know, when we think about it, and as we go through this life, there's a lot of spiritual sicknesses that we can have that can overtake our hearts. You know, it's just something that you can think of. Stiff neck. You know, you can have fever, chills, itching ears. But what about short-term dementia or dementia, spiritual dementia, in which I keep forgetting the words of God. I keep forgetting what God wants me to do. Every other day, I'm somebody different because I can't remember what God wants me to do. And you know, the longer you're in that period, you know, physical dementia, the worse it gets over time. And the same thing spiritually. Or you could have, Sunday mortis, where you hate coming together. You just don't like coming here to worship. You don't prefer to go to Bible class, which is not your thing. I'd argue that the more you do those things, the more you're going to start getting this short-term dementia. But then you can also have this time, I don't even know the right word to say this, but this long-term time disease. And basically, I have a lot of time left before I need to commit to God. I would say no one has a lot of time left. No one, not even Chase. I mean, anything can happen at any time for anybody. You do not know when your life is going to end. So we should all be making sure that if we have short-term spiritual dementia, that we change it. And if we think we've got enough time, you don't have enough time. Because time runs out. Everybody's time runs out at some point. And so these are spiritual sicknesses that, you know, the Lord, when he looks in our heart, is he seeing these things? Is that what's in our heart, are these sicknesses, are these diseases? If they are, let's make a commitment to change that. And, you know, God doesn't need an x-ray machine to identify any of that. He already sees it. He sees it through your actions. And if we go back to the original thinking through all of this, it's that God is with you every step of the way in everything that you do. So if you know that, what are you going to do in your life now to make sure that you're walking step by step with him? You're in line with his actions. you're in line with his expectations. And I go, this is going to be the last verse of our lesson today. If we go to Psalms 139. Is this a prayer that we want to pray? Is this a something that we want to commit to? Look at verse 23 and 24. 139, 23 and 24. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my anxious thoughts. And see if there be any hurtful way in me, and lead me in the everlasting way. And so I ask, is this what you're asking God to do when he searches your heart? Are you looking for him to lead you in the right direction to make sure your heart is clear of all these spiritual illnesses, of all these spiritual sicknesses? Are you asking God to lead you in the right direction, put your heart in a way that connects with his? And when you do that, you know what happens? You guys go hand in hand with each other. And he is not just walking beside you. He's like you as a child again, in which you're holding your parents' hands and they're leading you down the right path. They're holding your hand across this life. That is what you'd want God to have for you. And when you think about your life and your heart, where is it at? What is God seeing? You know, we can't see it, but God does. And the question is your heart healthy enough to go to heaven? Because if it's not, it is time to make a change. And you can do that right now as together we stand and as we sing.